Merry Christmas. I am Jonathan New, and I welcome you to this worship on this Christmas with the First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. We join with one another this evening in celebrating Christ's birth and God's abiding presence in the world. And I pray that by our worship, we may all find a way to receive God and the light of Christ into our hearts and lives, and to reflect that light into our world. I extend a particular welcome to those of you who may be joining us by our live streamed or our recorded worship. We may be worshiping from our separate places, and yet we are one in the body of Christ by the power of the Spirit. And so we receive that Spirit well, in particular on this Christmas Eve. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. As we begin our worship this evening, we offer a special thank you to all of the many people who have made this worship possible. To this evening's worship leader, Sarah Lynn Keller and Tom Foster and Beth Canterbury, to those who have pre-recorded worship elements for tonight's worship, the Ivers family and the Keedy family, to Judy Dixon and to Bill Ramage, to our office administrator, Peg Waters, and Marge Roberson for behind-the-scenes support. And as always, we remember Hank Zaretter and Randy Brewer and all of the staff there at Pegasus Natick, without whose technical assistance this worship would not be possible. Thanks again to all of them for the many gifts that they are sharing this evening in our Christmas Eve worship. This is a service that is all about the light. And so I want to tell you a little bit about candle lighting during the service, because you'll want to have some candles ready in order to really participate in it well. You'll need 5 candles. We'll light 4 Advent candles at the beginning of the service in just a few minutes. Later on, I'm going to be lighting the Christ candle on our behalf. You don't need a candle for that part, but just know that I'll be doing it. But when we come to the time of the sharing of the light, I'll invite you to light a 5th candle of your own as we sing together then Silent Night. One further note about this service, we invite you to a post-worship time of fellowship this evening by Zoom video conferencing immediately following our worship. This is a short time together that we're going to spend a little bit of time continuing to share the light of Christ with one another. The link to this Zoom fellowship is found in the worship bulletin, in the link emailing from earlier today that would have been sent out, and also on our church's website at www.firstchurchnatick.org. If you don't have any other plans for Christmas Eve following our worship, we hope that you will join us. And now we welcome the Ivers family, who will be relighting the 4 Advent candles previously recorded in our church's sanctuary.
To the darkness of our world, there came a great light. Light came as a child, the Son of God. He is a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. May this glorious light shine in our darkness as we offer him the worship and praise.
A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 52, verses 7 to 10. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord had comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God.
We light these candles to proclaim the coming of the light of the God of God into the world. We relight the first Advent candle to remind us that Jesus' coming brought forth hope into a dark world. We relight the second Advent candle to remind us of the peace God gave us by making God's present to us in Jesus. We relight the third Advent candle to remind us of the great joy that came from the good news Jesus brought into the world. And we relight the fourth candle to remind us that with the coming of the light, there is love, and to prompt us to love God, one another, every child of God, and God's good creation. Holy One, we thank you for the glimpse of heaven on earth in the faces and the light of those around us. Even in the midst of fear, of challenge, of struggle, even when our view is obscured by clouds of doubt, you have ignited the flame of hope, love, joy, and peace within us. Let us glow with this brilliance from the inside out. Amen.
In the season of Advent, leading up to this night, we've been hearing the good news from the prophets and the gospel writers, because we have needed to hear that good news. That's what gospel means, good news. We have pondered our deepest longings and the promise of our faith for peace and for hope, for joy and for love. Tonight, we turn to the story of Jesus's birth as it is told in the Gospel of Luke. We return again and again to this account of the story on this holy night because there we hear the most detail. We yearn to see the scene play out, to hear the music of the angels, to feel the rush to the manger, to see what this star that pierces the night sky has come to proclaim. We so desire to believe the good news of the messengers. That's the culmination of humanity's pain of birth. Don't be afraid, for unto us a sign has come that will be to all people on earth peace. Over the last 4 weeks, our theme song has helped us to remember that we can believe that God is with us, even and especially in the midst of hard times. Even when the sun is hidden from sight.
Even when the sun is hidden from sight.
Even when love feels so remote.
Even when love feels so remote.
Even when God is silent.
Even when God is silent.
Even then.
Even then.
We believe.
We believe.
We believe in the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. This is the night we celebrate that the Holy came in human form to be light in our lives, to speak to us, to touch us, to comfort us, to call us.
Good evening. For our responsive Christmas Eve song, I'll sing it through once, and then I invite you to join me.
I believe in the sun, I believe in the sun, even when it's not shining. I believe in the sun.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, God who labors to bring forth abundant life, we thank you for the birth we celebrate tonight. A newborn bundle of human life can cause us to gaze for hours amazed. Refresh our amazement that you sent Jesus to us from your very self, to be born as a human baby and to live among us, showing us the way of new life. In response to your great labor of love, may we open ourselves to you, that you may create new life within us. Amen.
I invite each of us now to share the peace of Christ, reaching out our hands in a gesture of blessing, perhaps, or perhaps placing our hands over our hearts with the intention of opening ourselves to God's peace and meeting the spirits of others with our peace, or perhaps offering the word namaste with a bow, which conveys the sense that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Jesus.
Looked down and saw darkness.
I will go there, said light.
Peace looked down and saw conflict.
I will go there, said peace.
Love looked down and saw hatred.
I will go there, said love.
So the Lord of Light, the Prince of Peace, the King of Love came down and crept in beside us.
A reading from the 9th chapter of Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, those who lived in a land of deep darkness. On them light has shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. For the yoke of their burden and the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For all the boots of the tramping warriors and all the garments rolled in blood shall be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born for us, a son given for us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time onwards and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
From angels bending.
Reading from the second chapter of Luke. In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David.
He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
No crib for a bed, the
In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them.
Thank you.
reading from the first chapter of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I am sorry to have to introduce the subject of Christmas. So wrote George Bernard Shaw, who explained, "It is an indecent subject, a gluttonous, wasteful, wicked, lying, filthy, blasphemous, demoralizing subject. Christmas is forced on a reluctant nation by shopkeepers and the press. On its own merits, it would wither and shrivel in the fiery breath of universal hatred. And anyone who looked back to it would be turned into a pillar of greasy sausages." Indecent? Wicked? Blasphemous? Christmas? Well, while I wouldn't go quite so far, Shaw is right to criticize Christmas commercialism, what it's become in the age of consumption. But is he right that on its own merits, Christmas would wither and shrivel? For that matter, was Charles Dickens's Ebenezer Scrooge right when he called Christmas a humbug and said indignantly early on in A Christmas Carol, "If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart." Well, maybe so, maybe so. And yet year after year, something aside from Santa Claus, aside from jingle bells, attracts us to Christmas. For me, a compelling aspect of the Christmas story is all of the stark contrasts that it has. The powerful emperor and the vulnerable baby. The king's wealth and the family's absolute poverty. The warm, full inn, the cold, sparse stable. The dark night, and of course, the bright light. Indeed, my earliest Christmas memories beyond, you know, glee over presents that were being received really are of light, moonlight on the snow, a sparkling Christmas trees, colored lights along streets, the tinsel that my mom always loved on the Christmas tree, glowing Advent wreaths and candlelight services, of course, like this one. Indeed, in the bleak midwinter, one of the shortest days of the year, comes this celebration of light. With the exception of life and death, there may be no more powerful images of contrast than light and dark. We are traders in such symbols, for they speak beyond themselves about mysteries too deep for words, and they can set our imaginations free. Light and dark. However, it's also very important to understand these scriptural symbols for what they are and for what they aren't. Because symbols can also, of course, imprison us. So let me be absolutely clear. Darkness in and of itself is not to be despised. As an amateur photographer, I know it's often the interplay between dark and light that make for beauty and that make for impact. But in everyday life, we can easily overdo our disparagement of dark. And more to the point, the infrastructure of white supremacy and this nation's sin of racism has relied on white people's fears about blackness to keep this evil system in place. And black people remind me that darkness can have its appeal as well. African slaves appreciated the darkness because this was one of the only times that they had to socialize among themselves and certainly to find their way clandestinely to freedom. And yet it is also true that they looked to the stars in the night sky to lead them to that freedom. The fact is, nighttime darkness leaves all of us, no matter the color of our skin, vulnerable to the dangers that can dwell there unobserved and possibly threatening. That's the symbolism that the gospel writers were employing. And that is why Luke dwells on the shepherds. He dwells on the shepherds. No one would have understood the contrast between light and dark better than the shepherds did. So Luke has us consider them very closely, to imagine them huddled together to fight off the chill, perhaps trying to stay awake on alert from dangers that the darkness may hold. He'd have us remember that night after night, year after year, they live that life of darkness. Even mentioning them as part of the story of God's birth in the gospel writer's day would have been a shocking thing, since they were considered ritually impure and were therefore literally living on life's margins. And so he would want us in our imaginations to be there with them as they sat on a night like any other, when with startling swiftness, a piercing light shattered their universe, to imagine those nobodies, though trembling with fear, receiving joyful news of a bright future. And then to imagine that we too might know such light in the midst of our dark times. The old familiar carol that we sang earlier speaks of such darkness and of such light. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. When the shepherds set out for Bethlehem that night, they went bearing their fears and, of course, bearing their hopes as well. They went accustomed to years of darkness, yet excited by the promise of peace. For the angel had told them, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." Peace, peace. The everlasting light of peace, warmth and sight and understanding. With old fears and a new hope, the shepherds go to Bethlehem and they find peace. Isn't that why we're here tonight? Sure, Shaw is right about what Christmas can be, no doubt. But Christmas can be about our darkness, illuminated by hope, and our own longing for light fulfilled. For it can be as true for us as it was for the shepherds As Isaiah proclaimed, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. 2,000 years later, we live in a time of uncertainty filled with hopes and with fears. Like the shepherds, we too live on alert from dangers from the dark. And yet, through the story of Christmas, we yearn for peace. We yearn for peace, that special peace that is known best in the word shalom, and to affirm with John that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it. This is a story about all creation moving from darkness into light. It stands alongside our contemporary stories, not factually true, but truth-filled nonetheless, in their contrast of the dark of our lives and the light that we crave. So all those stories that have moved us, of Star Wars and Harry Potter and Narnia and Middle Earth and Westeros and so many others. And so too did Charles Dickens. When he began his tale of Ebenezer Scrooge on a cold, foggy evening, symbolic of the dark night of Scrooge's life, that finally gives way to the brilliance of the morning, a Christmas morning. Dickens writes, "Running to the window, he opened it and put out his head. No fog, no mist, clear, bright, jovial, golden sunlight, heavenly sky, sweet, fresh air, merry bells. Oh, glorious, glorious." Finally, Ebenezer Scrooge's dark and squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching life gives way to light and to peace. We long for that kind of light too. We do. In fact, in every ordinary year, it's our tradition, of course, to ritually receive this light, to share it with each other on Christmas Eve, to pass it along until our entire sanctuary is lit in the glow of a multitude of candles. And then we sing together, of course, Silent Night, a testimony to how what may seem to be a small light that any one of us might be carrying, how it can, when brought together with that of others, create something much more beautiful, much more powerful. What a special moment that is. Reveling in light and warmth and in a common bond as well. But of course, this is no ordinary year. There you are, and here I am in our separate places, and we are worshiping in a different way. Our church sanctuary was finished being constructed, the present sanctuary, in 1875. This is the first Christmas in over 140 years that this worshiping community was not in that space on Christmas Eve, singing these songs and telling this story again. And it's painful not to be there. It's painful for me, and I've only been with you all for 10 months. I can't imagine how painful it is for those of you who have grown up maybe in this church. We can't do those things in person. And among the feelings we may have of loss will naturally be the feeling of sadness of not being able to light candles and sing together in this Christmas season in just that way. A diminishment of light in this special Christmas season in a year when no doubt we could really use that kind of experience. And yet, instead of turning away from this fact later in this service, when we do light our candles, I am going to encourage us to turn and to face it, to turn and to face it, because facing our own sense of loss and the gaping hole in our hearts, that gaping hole of need puts us precisely where those who experienced the first Christmas were. That is the situation into which God came quietly into the lives of Mary and Joseph, and into that of the shepherds, shunned as they were, and into a world that then too knew illness and new conflict and new poverty, the exercise of power over the powerless, the piercing bitterness that comes from the barbs of injustice experienced by the alien among us, all of those who are considered by us other. Christmas isn't only what modern America has made it. Beloved, stripped of its baubles, of its flashing lights and plastic reindeer, Christmas has a glowing ember which alone fuels its celebration. At its core is a warm and a shining light that draws people of goodwill. In one way or another, most of us long for light. We carry hopes and fears. We desire peace. Like the shepherds, we've been invited to Bethlehem to know the Prince of Peace, to know God with us. However we may get there, maybe led by tinsel or blinking lights, fueled by roast turkey or fruitcake, by way of Frank Capra's 34th Street or Bedford Falls, carried on the Polar Express or Santa's sleigh, let us set out on that journey. And may it be said of us, as of Scrooge, ever after his long dark night, that we know how to keep Christmas well. For if we do, our hope and the light of Christ can together kindle shalom for all the earth. May our loving present God make it so. Amen. On this Christmas Eve, we are gathered as God's people to celebrate what Christ's coming into the world means. We have celebrated the coming of Christ by lighting the Advent candles. They speak of the longings of God's people, a candle of hope and a candle of peace, a candle of joy, a candle of love. The increasing light tells us that God's rule and reign of love is drawing near. Tonight, on our behalf, I light this additional candle now for the one born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, the Christ, the light of the world, the beginning and end of all God's promises. People of God, rejoice in this light.
Please join me in the unison prayer as we say together, we thank you, God, that the time of waiting and preparing is over and that the light of Christ shines so very clearly tonight. We thank you for your gift of Jesus Christ to the entire world. We thank you that Christ's coming makes hope, peace, joy, and love possible for every person in every nation. encourage us to do our part to bring goodwill and peace to our families, our churches, our neighborhoods, and the world. May our joy be full and our hearts rejoice, for the world will never be the same again. Amen.
Our Christmas Eve offering will benefit food security assistance in our area through two local organizations, A Place to Turn and Canasta Solidaria. A Place to Turn has been helping families in Metro West since 1979. It continues to be a reliable and caring resource, providing emergency food and clothing. The Workers Center in Framingham began Canasta Solidaria this past fall in response to the coronavirus pandemic. Its volunteers have distributed culturally appropriate groceries to over 500 families in Milford and Framingham. Both of these organizations are meeting a critical need in these trying times. Though we're not passing an offering plate this evening, we encourage you to join our church in supporting the families and individuals who rely on these organizations. You can mail a check made out to First Congregational Church of Natick with a note in the memo line for Christmas offering, or you can visit our website at www.firstchurchnatick.org and click the donate page and make a contribution online. Let us rejoice now in the gift we have been given in Jesus Christ by returning a portion of those other gifts with which we have been blessed. Please pray with me. Loving God, may these gifts bring light to those who walk in darkness of any kind, hope to those who live in despair, and justice to those who are oppressed. Grant to all a sense of participation in the most important opportunity of all time to share your love with the world. To this end, we dedicate our offerings and we dedicate ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. The God who said, "Let there be light," has caused light to shine in our hearts. That light is the glory of God reflected in the face of Jesus Christ. And so we remember. We remember. We remember Jesus, the light of the world, told us that we too are the light of the world. And we remember our call individually and together as a church to be that light. And we remember Christmas Eve candle lighting times in our past. Maybe at First Church or another church home, maybe at the church of our childhood, maybe in a cathedral church that we once visited. Wherever it might have been, I encourage you now, as you light your own candle there in your homes, to recall First Churches or some other sanctuary so lit, to see that love light in your mind's eye. And above all, to know that just as the God of promise will make that experience possible once again, at a future Christmas Eve, even now, separate as we may be, we are yet a sea of light, lit from the one light of Christ, called to reflect Christ's light and love into the world on this silent night and every other night and day of our blessed lives. I invite you now to take flame from one of your Advent candles and to light a fifth candle, representing the light you have been given and can share with one another and with the world.
Silent night.
So I invite you to remember and to imagine once more, imagine that sea of light, imagine those candles, imagine those who sit near you in worship, imagine being gathered together and being quiet together. Imagine the sound of little voices maybe calling out in that quietness, little laughter. Imagine those experiences. Imagine them and remember that the God who came into our world as light will continue to do so. Let us pray together. Holy One, when the world was dark and the city was quiet, you came. You crept in beside us and no one knew. Only the few who dared to believe that God might do something different. Will you do the same this Christmas, Lord? Will you come into the darkness of today's world? Not the friendly darkness, as when sleep rescues us from tiredness, but the fearful darkness in which people may have stopped believing that conflicts will end, or that racism and white supremacy can be eradicated, or that food will come, or that a landlord will hold off on an eviction, or that vaccines will arrive and help stop the spread of a pandemic, or that a government will establish laws and policies that support the most vulnerable, or that true justice will be done, or that the church cares. Will you come into that darkness and do something different to save your people from death and despair? Will you come into the quietness of the towns and cities in which we live, not the friendly quietness, as when lovers hold hands, but the fearful silence when the phone has not rung and the letter has not come? The friendly voice no longer speaks. The doctor's face says it all. Will you come into that darkness and do something different, not to distract, but to embrace your people? And will you come into the dark corners and quiet places of our lives? You have confounded the wisdom of this world by coming to us in the form of a human baby, frail and vulnerable. Help us to comprehend the great love with which you open yourself to our world, that we in turn may risk to open ourselves in love toward all your children, and that we may find the source of our lives in Jesus Christ. We ask this not because we are guilt-ridden or want to be, but because the fullness our lives long for depends on us being as open and vulnerable to you as you were to us when you came, wearing no more than diapers and trusting human hands to hold their maker. Will you come into our lives if we open them to you and you do something different? When the world was dark and the city was quiet, you came. You crept in beside us. Do the same this Christmas, Lord. Do the same this Christmas. Amen. People of God, people of God, the light of the world has come to us. The word has become flesh and dwelt among us. Alleluia, Christ is born. Alleluia, God is with us. people of God. People of God, may the light of Christmas shine through your deepest darkness and give you hope. May the peace of Christmas take away your anxiety. May the joy of Christmas fill your days with gladness. And may the love of him who was born on Christmas Day go with you in all your ways. Merry Christmas, and go now in the peace and light of Christ. Amen.